3rd of February 1997. I'm about to go and interview Ian Skelly, soon to be the skipper of the Bounty. A vessel that he's buying from Ian Geldart. The boat is based in Port St. Mary. Times and the boats I've been to see just haven't been the right ones either. Mm. I.e., we have to spend too much money to get them into line with what I want, or they're too small or underpowered, or basically they're just, you know, no good.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is the sort of boat I've always wanted, you know, a beam trawler. So.
Yeah. So, what's the advantage of a beam trawler then? Is it?
You're not towing off the stern. You're towing off two booms. You're lifting everything up and in, and you do everything. Your two sets of dredges come as one, if you see what I mean. Whereas if you're on a boat towing over the stern, you've always got to pull one side up, bring it alongside, empty that, put it back over, bring the other. Whereas this, you know, literally you're twice as fast hauling and shooting, and you haven't got a long and a short side. You're towing up two level warps because you've got the spread outside the side of the boat, and it makes it a lot easier.
So is this a better layout, you reckon, than the family friends? And that's
in my own personal opinion, I would say it was, yeah. Any sort of beamer properly rigged is a lot easier than towing off the stern.
Yeah. And so since you've started fishing, you've noticed quite a big change in the, you know, the fishing industry in the harbour here, have you?
Yeah, well, as I say, when I first started, there was 17 boats in the fleet, and I think we're down to 6 now.
Mm.
And, you know, there's an older guy who's getting on a bit, and we could be down to 5 very shortly. And there's no youth really to come through, and, you know, to start a new fleet, things will have to change quite a bit for them to come in.
Mm.
You know, Port St. Mary's gone backwards as Peel's gone sort of forwards.
Yeah.
This was the main predominant scallop port, and all the others were just bit players, but it's Port St. Mary's the bit player now.
Mm. So why do you think that is?
Just lack of encouragement for young lads when they're on boats, and sometimes maybe the way they've been treated and the indoctrination of, oh, you don't want a boat. You never do this, you'll never make it pay, it's a lot of money, you do this and do that. And to be perfectly honest, some certain skippers selfish personal ways, you know, lack of encouragement.
Yeah. How does that differ to Peel then, isn't it?
Well, I think they all work in as a team. They all have their disputes now and again, but everybody does, but they sort of gel in and they socialise together, and they're like a little community within themselves, and, you know, it's not that sort of bitterness amongst them all. Village attitude. Small time.
So, fishermen around here, do they not socialise together much, or?
No, not really. Not really. But then again, I mean, years ago, the skippers would sort of indoctrinate their crew against other boats as well, so if they were out in the pub, it would be like, oh, we caught more than you, oh no, we got this and we got that, and the crews would be at odds with each other, and you know, and a lot of drinking was going on as well, you know, and it gives the actual fishing a bad sort of name, you know.
When was that?
In the early years, anyway, they'd come in straight off the boats and go straight to the pub, and not going home, or being, you know, being sitting in a bar drinking. Not saying them all, not all of them did, but quite a majority of them. You know, they're all classed with the same sort of view from people who don't know anything about the industry. You know, they're all sort of rough and tough and scruffy, swearing, loudmouth. Dare I say it, illiterate fishermen, some of them. Or marine labourers, to class them properly.
So, yeah, to come from there, you're saying that it's a lot, it's changed a lot here. There's a lot of people here, you know, fishermen have stopped fishing and that, and it's changing now in the last 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you think it's going to go?
It can only, from my personal view, it can only decrease for 4 or 5 years, maybe 6, 7 years, before it can increase, because there's not the young stock to come into the job. It's harder and harder to buy a boat. The prices, the license situation is just astronomical to buy a boat. Without the government, we have to keep its assistance towards the industry, or it would just go to the wall. Or the ones who have paid off boats would be the, unless they hand them off down to sons, whatever, it would just be the end of it all. But I don't know. I think one or two new blood in the fleet, and then decent crews with them, will give encouragement for other people who made it come in, into the job. And you know, especially you've got to work more hours now, because you're getting the same price as you were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and you know, you just got to work more hours to compensate for it. Certainly got to be more encouragement for them, you know. But saying that, it's got the fishing here before it increases, it has to be completely different than the old style of fishing, going out for a day, coming in, going out, you know, picking and choosing. Now it's a case of you, when you're out, you've got to stop out a minimum of 24, 36 hours, get your grossings in and your catches, because if you don't take it, someone else will take it. There's a nomadic Scotch fleet and Irish fleet increasing all the time, with bigger, more powerful boats of more and more dredges, and they're gradually easing down. And if not on our grounds, so what we class as our grounds, the inshore grounds, so it's not to the benefit of fishing, it's overfishing, but you've just got to compete on a level playing field with them. You've got to do the same as what they're doing, or that's it. There's just not enough money to go out and work days and be tied up when endless gales come. You just, you know, you've just got to work as much as possible now. Plus, I mean, the crews, you won't get crews otherwise, because it's just, you can't make a living at it. Day fishing. But I'd like to point out, there is an interesting fact, what I've always stated is that no one crewman that I can remember since I've been fishing ever has been able to afford a house and pay a mortgage off on deck wages, due to the mainly the fact they work the boats, you know, days. I mean, he'd have to work a lot harder to pay off a mortgage, because there just isn't the money in it for them. You know, they might get a big week, or 500 or 600 quid for a good trip, and then it might blow for 5 or 6 weeks, or they might have engine problems or whatever, and it just all averages out at the end of the year. It's the sort of same, just not enough. Whereas if, I mean, obviously if you work more hours, you work more money and less time, and I suppose they're a shorter spend, that bit extra, it all adds up and they go ahead that bit better. But as far as I'm aware, no crewman's ever stayed in the industry and paid a mortgage off.
Do you think that's why it's harder to get a crew?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Definitely. Plus, it's a specialist job in certain ways. You need, it's hard and it's unsociable hours, and it can be mucky and cold, and it's a built-in thing. You either do it, you can do it, or you can't do it, you know. There's very few people drift into it and stay with it, you know. But I certainly feel especially 10, 15 years ago, if more fellas, blokes from ashore with a higher state of intelligence have entered the job and seen the money that could be made, could have made a lot of money, you know.
So have you always fished for scallops? Have you ever done anything else?
Yeah, we've predominantly scallops and summer queenies, unless we fished one season down in Falmouth, and then we fished on the North Cornish coast pad still. And then we fished generally every year. We'll do maybe a month if there's a living to be made up round Rathlin, Isla, sort of way, the Clyde.
Right.
One year when there was a big fish and we went up as far on the east coast on Aberdeen, but we found we were just too small a boat and the stocks were too high off and we were undercrewed, because you had to be out 3 or 4 days to get the returns the boys were doing, and they were fishing a lot worse weather than what we're prepared to work, sort of thing, or used to. And then of course years ago we used to fish the Irish side up and down Sangford Lock up to Guns Island, but that's just been obliterated now. It's just not worth just going over there, plus it's a close season there now, coincides with ours, so we don't go. We had 2 years on the Heron, but we never seemed to catch anything. We weren't really rigged properly for that.
On the Heron?
Yeah.
Heron,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was being the same, 1979, 80, 81. No, it's a hit and miss job. I think you just have to have the equipment and a bit of instinct to get them, And some of the years, the Heron predominantly were all inside the 3 mile limit. And we were a boat that wasn't allowed inside the 3 mile limit, so it obviously affected our catch, because there wasn't a lot of Heron actually outside the 3 until they spawned on the bank. It's just one of them. It's a job that I believe will never come back to Heron, not for the Manx, unless they can sort a small quota out for the Kippers. But I think it's possibly gone and gone for good. We've had spells on the prawns when things have been tight, but at the present we don't have a quota enough to make it pay to go to that job, but it should be an all right job to fill in for a month or two when things are slack on the shellfish. And then we fished queenies with the net, and then we had a short stint on the whitefish. Whitefish is another job. You just need the hours at sea, and you can't work days, and generally we work in days, and you need 3 or 4 days at that job, continuous round the clock sort of, to get the return on what you want, and then you're landing your fish into the Isle of Man, which is always a lot less price than you would in Fleetwood or any other major port. And it's just the cost of freight and all that, getting the fish off the island. You're talking a £500 a truck to get it just on the steam packet away, so it's a lot off your gross. And unless there's 4 or 5 boats all doing well and they're filling up a lorry and the costs are incurred average between them all, but it rarely happens like that.
So how long do you go to sea for at a time these days?
Just generally, we're away up at say 4:15 and anything between 7:30 and 8:30 at night. But if there's a reasonable fishing, we'll stop and carry on, But as when I take over ownership of this, we will definitely be stopping, beyond doubt.
If the weather's stopping for more than one day.
Yeah. Yeah, if the weather's fine, we won't be coming in and out. It's, got to stick with it and basically take it before somebody else takes it. They're my bills to pay, so I have to get the money in to pay them the best I can, so that's the only way I can. And plus, it gives the boys more money. Obviously, just fishing better weather, not trying to take any risks with poorer weather. Just if it's a fine night, we stay, get something in, because if you stay that night, you're gaining an extra day, if you see what I mean. You say Monday and Tuesday you fish them, you got 2 days, but if you fish over Monday night to Tuesday morning, that's an extra day. It's another third of your catch generally, so it's a way of looking at it.
Is it really tiring though, working all night?
It is if you're undercrewed, yeah. You really need to train someone or have someone, a good second person who can take over the wheel and maybe give you 2 or 3 hours below or something, It's not really happened in this fleet previously because it wasn't the encouragement for a lot of fellas to take the wheel. You know, they all wanted to do it themselves. Mm. But now, there's certain guys in Peel and Ramsey, and they like have a second skipper now, and they work in 3 or 4 days at sea. As long as you get down below and get a few hours.
Are you going to train someone up then to...
Yeah, that's the idea, yeah. Plus, I mean, there's another point to that. If you're away on holiday or yourself, or God forbid you have a break your leg playing football or something, or have a car crash, I mean, you're out of action for 6 months. You really need someone to take over that boat and run it for you. Otherwise, you'll go backwards at a pretty fast rate of knots.
Mm. Yes. So before you were saying they wouldn't encourage you to learn.
No, not really. All you had to know was how to use a spanner to tighten a few nuts up, and how to throw all the stones out over the side and shovel them back, and then throw a few scallops out. There are exceptions. There have been fellas who do encourage, but the majority, I would say, haven't.
Yeah.
As I say, things are changing.
Yeah, now it's going to have to move forwards.
Yeah, it has to move forward.
Mm.
And the few that are left that have those sort of attitudes just have to be ignored, and you have to go and do your own thing.
Mm.
As I say, fleets elsewhere have increased tremendously, and this has just gone backwards.
Mm.
So, it, you know, in my opinion, it points to that. Learn your lessons from the past.
Mm. So, how many people do you have on the boat?
There's 3 of us at the moment. The present owner's still here until I, you know, get my money cleared and through. So,
yeah.
And there's a lad, a 19-year-old lad. And once present owner's soul signed and sealed and passed over, I'll take another bloke on.
Mm.
And then it just see how it goes from there. If we have to maybe work a summer of Falmouth or Newland, and it's 3 or 4 days at sea, you know, we can always take someone on down there for the summer, you know, casual sort of labour. There's always guys down there willing to go to sea. And plus, it's a big fishing area as well, and it's, you would probably get someone with a bit of experience.
Mm.
And then basically back here, you can manage up the island with 3, or you can, well, a lot of the boats work two-handed, which, you know, you can get by on that. Obviously, it's more money for the crew, if it's just you and one fella, but it's a bit tiring on yourself, and that's when you need to do the more hours, you need that extra man.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, it can't be done otherwise.
Mm. Isn't it more dangerous though, if just...
Yeah, obviously I would say it is more dangerous if one man gets caught in dredges or goes over the side. I mean, obviously by the time you turn the boat or something, it's not the best. It's, you know, I would say most boats over 40 foot really need a three-man crew, but it's just the economics of the job. And they've cut back on crews, and I believe in the future there'll be legislation to say size of boat, size of crew as well.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
It'll only take the first major accident, and that's, they'll bring in legislation like that.
So what do you think about the legislation? Because that's another thing that's increased, isn't it?
Yeah, fishing's just years. A bureaucratic mess at the moment. There's just too many forms to fill in, and you can't do this and you can't do that, and it's just not a common policy. It just changes month by month, and i.e. if the scallop or queenie market crash tomorrow, although those boat has great potential as a, you know, towing a trawl or a beam trawl, we just haven't got the quota to fish.
Mm.
And we'd catch our quota 1 or 2 days, and that would be it for the month, and it, as you see, it's just not viable.
Mm.
So I don't know, the Manx government maybe has to issue its own quota or get a quota from the EC, even if it's just inside the territorial waters.
Do you think there's a chance of that happening, a collapse in the
It's on a downhill slope at the moment because there's so many boats at it, but it all comes down in the end. You'll have your bleak times and your good times, but there's so many more boats at the job now. It's it's sort of a free for all, and then there's boats who up north who haven't run out of their whitefish quota are changing over to the job just to fill in for them 3 or 4 months or even a month at times, just to get money in for the boat, and they're new to the job. Maybe there has to be a licensing thing for scallopers, you know, to say, right, you're a scalloper and that's all, you know, you can, well, not all you can do, but, you know, not a free-for-all. It's like every boat can go and fish crabs, and every boat can fish queenies, and every boat can fish lobsters, and that, but not every boat can go and fish the whitefish because they don't have quotas for it. But there's decommissioning, there's more and more boats being decommissioned, taken out of the industry, hence there's less licenses. There's a lot bigger ships coming up to Scottish coast where they have to maybe buy 3 or 4 licenses to amalgamate from 3 or 4 old boats. They're fishing further and further off shore, so there's less and less inshore boats. So in one way, maybe, you know, it's going to benefit the industry. The only thing, it's forced up the price of licenses and boats. You know, they've tripled in value in less than a year. And there's only one way.
Licenses,
yeah. God. I mean, I would say for this size of boat, you could have had one for 40 or 50,000, maybe 2.5 years ago. But now you're talking of 100 for a boat like this. And the only one way they can go, because it's market forces dictate, the less and less there are, the more the way the price scale will go up.
It's going to be even harder for some of the stuff.
Oh, definitely. Unless there's adequate government assistance to help someone start out. You know, it's getting nearer impossible at the present time. So it's hard to say what will happen. There's just too much money involved in licenses all around the UK for them to suddenly pull the plug on that and say that they have no value. They were given out free many years ago, but as I say, it's a job to know what to do. They're either all going to fall into companies in the long run, or an odd few individuals. Spanish have bought a load as well, so that affects us as well.
They've bought British licenses?
Yeah. Their boats fish the British quota with British licenses, but maybe they have a token mate and a token skipper on board to pass the crewing regulations. I think you have to have a skipper or a mate, and you got to land maybe 3 or 4 times a year in main ports in Milford Haven, really, and that's just to fulfil the legislation, what they have to do. But most of the stuff all goes back to Spain, and obviously the boat's profits go back to Spain and everything. And plus they're undersized fishing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and they're wanting more and more off, you know, the English quota and the English grounds are moving more and more this way. And it's a scorched earth policy with the Spanish, I'm afraid.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's take everything today and need nothing there tomorrow. I mean, I've been to a market in Spain and seen it for myself. There's been hake the size of your finger and soles the size of a fag packet. It's just all totally undersized fish, and that's apparently what the Spanish housewife or whatever prefers, you know. But they've just got to be taught how, you know, to look after the stock and throw the weans back. I mean, that's why they want to be on our grounds, because there's nothing left on theirs, you know. Plus, I believe the English have more fisheries officers than any other EEC country, by about 4 to 1. And they abide by majority abide by the rules, and they check quite frequently. Ministry of Department of Agri and Fish, you see the plane coming over quite often and photographing you and all that. But, you know, the French, the Belgium and the Spanish seem to get away with it because their own sort of governments just see, sort of give them a free rein.
So you think the stocks around here are quite well managed, really, compared to other places?
They have been, due to the single fact which has proved time and time again, has been the close season and the continuing policy of throwing the small ones back. Obviously you have one or two offenders, but I'm strictly a believer in if you're caught with undersized scallops, a £10,000 fine or definitely confiscation of gear. And blatantly, obviously, cases is it put down there that you get your license taken off if you're a second or third offender, and that's it, taken off, and the boat's gone. I mean, that's your future. That's your future stock. You know, that's not there. You've got no living. And it's been proved by that's how the majority of the Manx fleets have survived, because they've always thrown the small ones back, and you can go to the same grounds year in, year out, and make a living out of it. But it's getting gradually harder on the sort of what we call the perimeters of our grounds, because outside boats have come in who are nomadic and are taking everything, and you'll go back to them grounds and them grounds are just barren, there's nothing left. So, you know, it's got to be brought in for everybody. You know, none of this landing on the back of a wagon 3-4 o'clock in the morning with a load of undersized scallops, and you know, some people just don't realise. But then again, a lot of the ones that are doing that don't actually own their own boats. They're just in it for a short time. They're working for companies, so to them it's maximum grossing in the short time. And you know, they don't know whether they'll be there next year or the year after. But it's just education to throw the smalls back, really.
Do you think as the licences go into the hands of companies, it could get more like that then?
Possibly could, yeah. Yeah, it's up to then the companies. Well, then I think it's up to the fisheries officers to bring in legislation to say, which I don't think they can actually do at the moment, enter the factories and see if there are undersized shells, prosecute the factory. Or sometimes they say, oh, we're not sure which boat this is, and it could be that, and we're not sure who's put what scallops on the table. Prosecute the factory for taking them.
Yeah.
It's up to maybe the factory owner to, as soon as stuff comes in, say, oh, that's not right, and bring a fisheries officer in, or the fisheries officer's in there, and he sees undersized ones, the factory get hit as well. It's generally the same offenders time and time again.
So they don't do that then? They
wouldn't... They do go around the factories in the Isle of Man, but they certainly don't across.
Alright.
Not on a regular basis. Yeah.
But you know, do they prosecute you on the Isle of Man?
They do, yeah. They have done, yeah. And I'm all for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've... I suppose if you go and look at the records, I don't think they've had anyone this year, but I average maybe three, maybe four. Well, two or three a year now. But they only have legislation to the 3 mile. They haven't got the 12 in yet, so they can't actually board what we call foreign boats, you know. They can only board their own. So you could have a big Scotch boat, Irish boat, English boat working in inshore grounds, taking as many smalls as he wants, because he's not supposed to, but the Manx can't actually, protection boat can't actually board them, because the legislation's not actually in place at the moment, as far as I'm aware. But once that is and they're regularly boarded, it only takes one massive fine to deter all the others. You know, it's a deterrent. And you have to have it, I'm afraid. People should learn by their mistakes then.
So you please you went into fishing
at
early age.
I wouldn't have come in at any later. There's this thing, I've been a bit backward. I should have had a boat 6 years ago at least, maybe before that. As I say, things just haven't worked out, and I've only been on this boat since November, 3 months now, you know, because I honestly thought I'd own it by November, but we've had problems with buying the license and all that, and the government had to amend a scheme before Timwell, so it's held us back. I actually thought I'd have it owned last June, but I haven't so been here, and I was on another boat similar to this, just a bit smaller than this, for since I left school really, and I skipped that on and off.
So what's Ian doing now that he's selling you his bait? Are you going to carry on fishing?
No, he won't be scallop fishing. I'm not really sure of his plans really. Ian is actually a qualified electrician, so he could do a bit of that if he wanted, but you know, he's made good money and a good living out of the job, and I would personally think he'd be comfortable for the rest of his life, but he's not the sort of fella to sit around at home, so He might buy himself a little potter or something, you know, just work around the shore now and again to please himself, just to keep his hand in, so to speak. But I must admit, I'm indebted to Ian to give me this chance, because this is it's an immaculate boat and it's been well looked after. It's always had anything in, it's been new, and Ian's very particular about looking after, and I'm getting it at what I think is a good price, because of the problems I've had with, it's been a year and 2 months since I first initially put in to buy it, and since that time prices have risen dramatically, and he's had offers in excess of many thousands of pounds more to buy it off him, and you know, he's been fair with me and said, no, you know, I've already promised it someone else, so you don't get many people like that in this day and age.
That's good, isn't it? So you're pleased it's going to stay on the island and put some air in?
Yeah, there's a factory closed down in Peel now, and